Well, happy resurrection morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Mike or no Mike? All right. Well, we're so thankful and grateful to have you with us. And I know some others will be pulling in here in just a few moments. And we hope the radio station is working well. That's 87.9 FM, Voices of Calvary. And we're so excited about that. And just the whole day has came together. What a blessing and joy and great opportunity it is to be able to stand outside the church as Jesus went outside the tomb and was resurrected from the grave. And so are we in like figure this morning. We are just representing our living Lord. And we hope that you take in what we're trying to project this morning for the honor and the glory of the Lord. I do want to mention a few things as we get started. Again, that radio station is 87.9 FM. Those in your car that are listening, feel free, I say again, feel free to honk your horn by means of saying amen this morning. Yeah, there we go. Woo! Honk your horn. If you really want to get crazy, turn on your windshield wipers, you know, and all of that. Flashing lights. We're just here to celebrate the Lord. And so just wanted to get that out there. Also, I want to say that we do have a nursery if you need those services. And of course, that will be right inside these doors here to my left, and in our normal nursery location. And so remember that if you need that. Also, we'll be taking up our regular Sunday morning offering in just a few moments. And but then, a little while later, we'll have our special Easter offering. And we'll have an offering plate right here in front of me, as you see, there on our altar. And you can walk your offering down. Those listening in your car will have an usher working the lot, bringing the offering plate out there as well. And so remember that. And restrooms, same door to the nursery. Most everybody's familiar with that who's been to Calvary before. But if you're visiting, I do want to say restrooms will be to my left through this double door, through this door. And also we have a tent set up over here. And we have water if you need that. We also have, for those visiting, a souvenir for you. That's the only word I can comes to mind to think of for those that are visiting. But Miss Lee Ellen and Miss Mary Rich had made some magnets for your refrigerator with a picture of Calvary on the magnet, and a message from the church and some different things. So be sure to pick that up. And as a token of our appreciation for you being with us in the service this morning. And we also have a flyer that you can pick up that will show our services and the times and all of that, that we meet together to worship. So be sure to grab one of those. All right, well, we'll save the rest for somebody else to talk about this morning. Are you glad you're here? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, yeah. But what a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord this morning on Easter Sunday. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And we have some great singing. And I want to say thank you to all of those who have helped make this possible today. I believe this will be a start of many services outside, but just a wonderful outside opportunity for those in our community to see what's going on. We have some on the Silver Comet and even the playground back there that have been noticing people walking by, driving by, and so we're here to reach our community, and so we thank the Lord for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name today, and we're so very thankful for this opportunity to stand in a little bit different of a setting outside, just as you left the tomb, you arose from the grave. Lord, we're trying to say the same thing to this lost and dying world, that there is hope extended today. I pray, Lord, if there's someone that is listening, someone that is watching, even someone on the Silver Comet Trail or passing by on the sidewalk, let them hear the wonderful sound that Jesus saves, that He is alive, and Lord, He is available to meet them in their time of need. Father, thank you for those watching by way of Facebook. We've been so faithful doing that for a year now. Remembering a year ago, we were just, Lord, just a few of us inside the church on Easter Sunday. But now, a year later, here we are, and we're thankful for this opportunity. Bless everything from start to finish. God will give you all the praise and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning, I thought earlier that it was going to be very cool out here, and it may be to you, but some of us need some sunblock, some worse than others. But what a beautiful day that the Lord's made, amen, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me just say thank you for the honking, and if you will, during the songs, if you'll wait till we finish a song, and then you can blare it out, okay? We don't want to get our soloist off track. But again, thank you so much for being here. What a glorious time. What a beautiful day. And we won't say much else this morning. We're going to try our best to sing through a few songs and try and get the choir down off the platform. But again, thank you so much for being here. If you're listening on the radio, and we're very thankful for that avenue. Thank you for those that are willing to come and to be here and a part of this service. And again, we'll probably have others to join us, and we hope that we do. But you pray for the choir, and we're going to start off by saying this. If you knew him like I knew him, you would know that he's alive. I walked by the tomb of Buddha. I looked inside and saw his bones. I traveled on to see Mohammed, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him there, the precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no
I feel it. would surrender in total defeat. Your death would be swallowed up in victory. Cause I'm proud to save your God on the cross. Saturday it seemed like all hope was lost. Soon there would be cause for rejoicing if everything changes. On Friday, the Savior died on a cross. Today it seemed like all hope was lost. Calls for rejoicing in everything. Oh, on Friday, the Savior died on a cross.
Just about every year, I go back and I listen to that great message that said, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
Amen.
Sunday is here. We're here to celebrate the resurrection. I'm going to give you an opportunity to stand. We're going to sing a verse or two of He Lives, page 188. If you have a book there and you need that, page number 188. We're going to sing He Lives. I need to get the ushers to come, and we're going to take up our regular morning offering. Regular morning offering. They're going to work the parking lot, and they're going to work the congregation as well. So we'll give them a little bit of time here. All right. If you have an offering, you're in your vehicle, just wave your hand out the window or something and let them know, and they'll come back by and they'll pick it up. But let's sing one more verse and one more chorus. Here we go.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. The other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation.
few moments, we'll be taking up our special Easter offering. We'll do that very soon here. We got one more song that we'd like to share with you. It's a song that we've been working on for several weeks. The song has such a tremendous message. It's not just about the manger, but it's about the cross. You pray for Lily this morning. She does a tremendous job on It's About the Cross. Choir comes down this morning. We're going to make ready for our Easter offering.
Brother David's going to play softly while we have this opportunity for our Easter offering. As you see, we have an offering plate down front. This is outside of your regular tithes. Of course, we've just taken those up. But we are also going to have an usher go through the lot. And if you have an offering that you'd like to give for this special day, then just wave a hand, honk a horn, something like that, and you can give. Go ahead, Brother Trail. And so at this time, we're going to have this special offering. If you'd like to come down front and put yours in the plate, or if you have one in the back in your automobile, we're observing this special offering on behalf of the resurrection of Jesus at this time. Service today at 10:30, and it's about 7 till 11. So we have plenty of time this morning. And I do this from time to time when we're in the church, but because we have so much time, maybe if someone in the congregation here and sitting in a chair might want to give a word of testimony. I believe that'll be right in line if you'd like to do that. And if nobody has anything, then we'll start the message this morning. Everybody here okay in your automobiles? Can I get a honk?
All right.
And Brother Randy told me it's working fine many times this morning, but I keep on worrying about it. So, but anyway, we appreciate it. Anybody at all? I'm going to sit this microphone over here. Yes. All right. Go ahead, Brother Jeff.
I'd just like to thank God for this great weather we've got today. And it could have been really rainy and all that. We got perfect weather for it. And of course, I just want to give him praise personally for going to the cross and dying and resurrecting again for me personally. And just want to thank him for that. And just thank God for this wonderful service we're having. And this great place.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate that.
Last Sunday was 2 years that Chuck and I came to this church and we found a home. And we just want to let everybody know that if you're visiting, this is a place to be. This is home. You will not find a better church family, a more loving church family, a more opening church family than Calvary. We are truly blessed. Thank you.
Appreciate that testimony.
I just want to thank God for everything.
Amen. Great testimonies this morning. That was Brother Ben Tidwell. Him and his family has been through a lot lately, like everyone else, but he actually sent his daddy home to heaven, day before yesterday? Something like that. I believe it was. And so for him to be able to stand and give good report, we praise the Lord for that. Anybody else? Long giving God praise for not being in the tomb and for living in his heart. And we appreciate all the testimonies this morning. And all right, we're going to be this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I guess the last time I had the opportunity to preach outside, I guess date back to Floyd Rhodes days when we were members at Floyd Road, and they had the homeless ministry there and still have it. And we would go out and preach to the homeless in Marietta, and just a different feel, different atmosphere, and I like it. I like preaching outside. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, let me say I want to thank those watching by way of Facebook. Once again, don't want to leave them out. Don't want to exclude them this morning. You are very much part of our service. Thank you for everyone being here. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 this morning, this is known as the resurrection chapter of the Bible. Those who study the Word and have heard much preaching and much teaching know that 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul, he deals with this matter of the resurrection. In verse number 1 down through verse number 11, we have the resurrection message delivered. Notice in verse number 1, the scripture says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And we're not going to read all of these verses, but verse number 3 and verse number 4, Paul gives this resurrection message. Look in verse number 3. He says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Verse number 5 and verse number 6, 7, and 8, it talks about how that he was seen after the resurrection. And so Paul goes through that in this resurrection message delivered. But then in verse number 12, there's a bit of a change to the flow of this chapter. In verse number 12, we see the resurrection message doubted. Notice in verse number 12, he says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" It's important to keep in mind that Jesus, or that Paul, he came on the scene and he preached that Jesus is alive. Of course, anywhere that the truth is preached and righteousness is lived and righteousness is preached, that there's going to be those who try to corrupt the truth and those who try to water down or even cause doubt to be present along with the truth. And so there were some who said that the resurrection, well, there's going to be no resurrection, or there's going to be no future resurrection of the just. And we see that actually the Sadducees had part in that. And, you know, an easy way to remember who doubted the resurrection of Jesus, didn't believe in it to begin with, is you remember the name Sadducees. They're sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. But also they were saying there's going to be no future resurrection of the just. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And so we see that this resurrection message is actually being doubted by some there at Corinth. Now, in verse number 13, down through verse number 20, I want you to notice the resurrection message and how it directly impacts all of our lives. In verse number 13 down through verse number 20 gives us a direct impact of this resurrection we're celebrating this morning of Jesus. And how that it impacts, or should I say, the lack of a resurrection, how it impacts our life. Notice if you would in verse number 13. He says in verse number 13, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Let me stop there and just say that the resurrection this morning is important because our entire existence and future hinges upon the fact that Jesus got out of the grave. And if he did not get out of the grave, we're doomed. We're of all men most miserable this morning, because in this life only we have hope. But let's keep reading. "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, or dead in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." But thank God for verse number 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep." Because Jesus is alive this morning, and Paul really hammers down on that in verse number 20, that because Christ is alive, he has become the pattern by which all of us will rise from the dead one day. All of those that are in the ground right now will get up one day because of the first one that got up 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I want to center our thoughts, if I could, for a few moments around verse number 20, where he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." I'd like to preach for a few moments on this subject, because he lives. Because he lives. Many of you probably are already thinking of the song that we sing from time to time, "Because he lives." Listen to this chorus on this song. It says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives." I want to say this morning that we're not serving a dead Savior, but we're serving a living Savior. We're serving a living Savior because the living Word says we are. Christ is alive this morning. He's not dead. I want to say this morning that there is a difference between Christianity and all other religions of the world. You see, Christianity is set apart from all other religions of the world. And you say, how's that? Glad you asked. Because you see, anybody
can die for what they believe. But it was only Jesus, this one man, the God-man, who raised himself up from the dead and vindicated the message that he preached. We have this morning in our communities Muslims. We have this morning in our community Buddhists. We have this morning in our community those who worship Confucius, which was a Chinese philosopher. We have this morning in our community even those who worship Gandhi. And Gandhi was a spiritual leader in India. We even have the Mormons that pedal their little bicycles that go from door to door that you see in Walmart from time to time that have their little nameplates. But the Mormons and Mormonism was led by a man that's dead whose name was Joseph Smith, who believed in having multiple wives. Well, we know what happens when you have multiple wives. You have multiple mother-in-laws. I have a great mother-in-law. So we're just going to leave that alone. Joseph Smith believed in multiple lives. Joseph Smith's message believed that if you're righteous enough and do good enough, that you can be a spiritual hierarchy in heaven along with God. He's in the ground this morning. Charles Russell. We have so many Jehovah Witnesses in our community who go from door to door, who meet in temples that have no windows by, may I add. And they put the watchtower track on your door. Or they call your business and leave a message. They mail a piece of mail to your address saying, come and worship with us. Even this morning on Easter Sunday morning. But can I say that they're doing what they do so that they may earn a place in heaven, or what they say, paradise. But I want to say that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done by which we are saved. But it's by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of this living Lord. Not a dead Charles Russell. Not a dead Joseph Smith, Confucius, Gandhi, all the rest of them. But it's by this man Jesus that's alive this morning. That's living this morning. And his hand is out to this community. His hand is out to those on Facebook. Listen, you tried every high you can try. You tried to get by with all of these other things that give temporarily fulfillment. You've even tried philosophy. You've tried spiritual leaders. You've tried religion. This morning, won't you try Jesus? Won't you accept the Lord this morning? Because he'll save you from your sin. And he'll give you a place in heaven this morning. We don't serve a dead Savior, but we serve a living Savior this morning. Amen. Jesus Christ, praise the Lord this morning. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And so Christianity this morning is separate from all other deities and all other forms of beliefism when it comes to the subject of religion. Jesus not only died, but he got up this morning. I heard a story one time of a mom who was taking her son to buy a toy for doing so good in school all week. And so they went into town and to a local toy shop, and they found this little squeaky dog toy. And so this little squeaky dog toy would wind up. You would crank it up and you let it go, and it'll glide across the floor. And it even made this little chirping noise, which was supposed to emulate a dog bark. And so the son said, Mom, can I please have this one? I really want this little squeaky dog toy. The mother said, yes, son, you can have it. You did so good in school this past week. And the boy loved the squeaky little dog toy. They got in the car and they started going home. And the boy looked up to the right in the plaza and seen a pet shop. And so they, Mom, please pull over to the pet shop. They pulled over in the pet shop parking lot and looked in the storefront, and there was all these real puppies licking the window and barking. The little boy said, Mom, I want a real puppy. I want the real thing. Can I say this morning that Jesus is the real thing? None of these other fads, none of these other leaders, cult, religions. Listen, Jesus is the real thing. If you have not tasted the goodness of the Lord, please know that nothing satisfies but Jesus alone. I kind of feel like that little boy who went to that pet shop and got the real thing. November 19th, 2002, this old boy got born again. And my life has, it changed immediately, but the longer that I live and the more that I serve Him and try to be and fulfill these responsibilities God has placed in my life, I like to think that I'm growing even more. And one day we'll be in the very presence of the Lord in fulfillment, being complete in Him. This morning I want to mention a few things that are true because He lives. Just some simple things that are right here on the surface from our verses that are true because Jesus lives. Again, the scripture says, verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Number one, in verse number 14, because He lives, our message is true. Our message is true. Look in verse number, let's just read verse number 13, or verse number 12 down through 14. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. But wait a minute. Verse number 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. I want to say this morning, because He lives, because He's alive from the dead, our message is true. Our preaching is not in vain. If Jesus wasn't alive this morning, if it was only a fairy tale, if it only looked good on paper that He was alive, and it really didn't happen, then we'll be wasting our time congregating together. Every prayer that we would pray would be vain. Every song that we would sing would be vain, of no avail. But Paul says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And I want to say that He's alive this morning. He is living, and because of that, our message is true. So this is what I say to those who sing songs. Stand up and sing your song because your Lord is alive. To those who pray publicly, stand up and pray publicly with passion and with power because the Lord is alive. And I say to myself this morning and to those listening who preach and those who teach and speak on the behalf of Christ, stand up this morning and preach with power, preach with fervency, because we serve not a dead Lord, but we serve a Lord that is alive this morning. And because He's alive and because He lives, our message is forever going to ring true this morning. We're not preaching a false doctrine this morning. We're not preaching a false hope. We're not telling you to go out to the community and put, you know, tracks on doors and businesses in order to be part of 144,000 one day. But what I am telling you is this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13 has said this from the beginning when the Bible was written to 2021. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved this morning. Whosoever. Anybody that's defiled can get saved. Any murderer can get saved. Anybody that is locked up in jail can be saved. That's the great thing about a living Savior that we serve this morning. His arms are open wide, and He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Jesus saved this morning. Amen. Why don't you get saved? Why don't you get saved? You know, the Bible speaks about a place of torment. The Bible speaks about a place called hell. And just as much as heaven is real, there is a real hell this morning. There is a lake of fire. There is a place where the actual foot soldiers of Satan are putting together their final plan. They already know they're defeated. There's a place where the worm dieth not and where unbelievers are tormented day by day. I want to say, don't go to hell this morning. Don't go to, he said, what will send me to hell this morning, Brother Justin? I'll tell you what. Not bowing your heart before a holy God and saying, yes, I know I'm a sinner. Yes, I know because of my sin in my life, born a sinner, will separate me, has separated me from a holy God. And by proudly and arrogantly turning a nose and a heart toward that and saying, I'll take my chances. That's how you go to hell, my friend. It's by thumbing a nose at Calvary. By thumbing a nose and having this proud, arrogant Georgia boy spirit, whoever you may be out there that's listening. Those online, by saying, I'll pay for my sins in hell. Oh, no, you won't. If you ever go to hell, you will wish the first half second you weren't in hell. But now that we're on this side of eternity, I ask you to bend your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Take me to heaven when I die. Give me purpose while I yet remain on earth. This morning, Jesus saves. And I'm proud to say that our message is true. Because he lives, our preaching is not in vain. Number two, because he lives, our faith is true. Our message is true, but our faith is true. Look what he says in verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. We can look at the word faith and we can say, okay, faith here is talking about the whole embodiment of faith, the Christian life, the gospel, everything in one whole. But also we could take it apart and say distinctly that faith here has to do with believing God for the future. Has to do with believing God for strength for today. Has to do with not only faith, meaning the very existence of our faith wrapped around the Lord Jesus, but I believe it's safe to say that our faith can also mean trusting God for his sufficiency to get us through. Trusting God for that loved one that you have that's dear to you who has cancer, and you're trusting God and you have faith in God that he's going to see that dear loved one through. Having faith here, I believe, will safe to say that for those who have lost loved ones, the Tidwell family, and you're getting ready to go to the cemetery on Tuesday, I believe it's safe to say that our faith also has to do with trusting the Lord for faith and strength to walk out onto that cemetery to bury our loved ones. You see, this morning we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's real faith. It's true faith. He's alive from the grave, and every time you've trusted him for strength, it's real. Every time, and maybe you're trusting him for tomorrow for energy and spiritual strength, it's real. It's not in vain. I say to you this morning, keep trusting the Lord for miracles. Keep trusting the Lord and keep exercising your faith that God has a way for you. Keep trusting God. Keep exercising your faith in the idea that God can make a way when there is no way. Keep trusting God and keep exercising your faith in the Lord Jesus, that the same way he came out of the tomb, you can also experience the newness of life. This morning I want to say that because he lives, our faith is true. Even the times that you pray and nothing happens. Even the times that you believe God that that doctor's report is going to come back benign and not malignant. Comes back malignant but not benign. Even during those times, listen, Jesus, he knows your predicament. He knows your situation. And sometimes he has another way through our faith, our belief in him, that he's going to take care of us. Sometimes it's through the hands of the doctors. Sometimes it's through a chemo pill. And sometimes it's through many, many visits to your primary care doctor and chasing all these rabbits. So just because the Lord hasn't answered your prayer immediately, keep on exercising faith in him. Don't let the devil, or but just because your situation has been no, or just because your situation has been not right now, don't let that deter you from exercising faith in our risen Lord this morning. Keep in mind, Paul said in verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Our faith is true. Whether the Lord intercedes on my behalf or not, on my tomorrows, I'm still going to exercise faith in him because he's alive this morning. If he opens up doors and windows from heaven and makes my life light and comfortable, praise the Lord. But if he closes those windows of heaven, and if he closes doors, and if it's God's perfect will that our army crawl through this life till I see him face to face, I'm still going to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say, it's God who gives us that faith to exercise in him in the first place. Sometimes the Lord says yes. Sometimes the Lord says no. Sometimes the Lord says not right now. But there's one thing about it, child of God. Your faith is not vain. Your faith is not vain. So we see, because he lives, our faith is true. Because he lives, our message is true. Because he lives, our witness is true. Look at verse 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Verse number 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He's alive this morning. And because of that, our message, our witness is true. We're not like Jehovah's Witnesses trying to hand out 144. I mean, trying to hit every house in the community, which we could learn and we could benefit from them by inviting every person in the community to church. And I know we got a pandemic going on, but man, they have passion. They're enthused about what they believe. It has given them wills to move forward on. But you know, in like manner, Jesus, he is alive. And because of that, that gives us wills to move and be that witness he wants us to be. Our witness of God is not vain this morning. It's not false. He's alive. Keep witnessing to that neighbor. Keep witnessing to that family member. Keep witnessing to that church member. Keep witnessing to people in your community. They may have turned a deaf ear to what you've had to say, but tell it one more time. At work, they may talk about you, or at school, they may talk about you and call you a Bible thumper, call you a legalist, call you and say that you're better than everybody else. Just say, no, I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. Keep on sharing the gospel message, because it's true this morning. Jesus was here on earth at one time, and he had a 3.5-year ministry, and he performed miracles, and he changed people's lives, and he raised those from the dead. And so everything was pointing to Jesus. And then Jesus, we know he went to the cross and he died, but he rose again. This vindicated all of those miracles he performed. This testified that he was indeed the Son of God. God in flesh. Every evil spirit he cast out. Everybody he raised from the dead, all the miracles, everything, the disciples, he told to the disciples, preparing them for his departure. That's the reason he came, and that's the reason he died. And when he rose again, it testified of that. And so now, 2,000 years later, we have a vindicated message. He just didn't die, but he rose again. And so we are witnesses of the truth. I can tell you what he did in my life. You could tell others what he did in your life. That's your witness of the miraculous working saving power of Jesus. And you could share what he did in those in the Bible and share the gospel message. And we need to continue doing that, because we are not false witnesses. We are true witnesses. We are true witnesses, because the Lord arose from the grave. Let me mention this. Verse 17, notice. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. He says, ye are yet in your sins. How sad a commentary is that? If all of this was a hoax, if all of this was just we get down to the end and it has been a fabricated story, which it is not. How sad it would be to know that we were still yet in our sins. But verse number 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You see, everything this morning hinges on the resurrection. Our sins being gone, it hinges upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He's alive this morning. And because he lives, we are not in our sins. The Justin that has dropped the ball a million times plus since salvation, those sins are no more. Let me go back before that. The Justin that was before I even got saved, Justin BC, before Christ, who used to be in the pool halls, used to be the drug addict, used to be the drinker, the brawler, who used to love getting in fights and taking names. Listen, that Justin is no more. All my sins are gone. All my past sins are gone. All your past sins are gone if you've trusted him. If you bowed your head and said, Lord Jesus, come in. Be my Savior. Your past sins can be gone. Your present sins can be gone. And your future sins can be gone. Any sin that I've ever committed is all gone this morning. Now, there's some out there who like to say, well, because my sins are gone, because I'm under grace, this is another message, and I'm going to continue to sin that because my sins are gone and that grace may abound. The more I sin, the more grace I'll have. Paul said, God forbid. That is not the attitude of a born-again child of God, that because my sins are gone, I will keep on sinning. Listen, somebody who has bowed their head and humbled their heart and gave their life to Jesus will move forward with this kind of attitude. Lord, I hate it when I sin now. Lord, I feel like that law enforcement's after me when I sin now. Lord, I despise my sin. Why did I sin now? Lord, if I was you, I would not forgive me. There's this grieving over our sin if we are a true child of God. It's because of the Holy Spirit that's within us. And you see, when our sins have been washed away, and we're now positionally right with God, we will have the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, and direct us. And praise the Lord this morning, with all of that said, our sins are gone. Our sins are gone. He says in verse number 17, ye are yet in your sins if Christ was not raised from the dead. But he's risen. And because he lives, our forgiveness is true. Verse number 18. Because he lives, deceased believers are alive. Look in verse number 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ or perished. How sad that is if Jesus wasn't alive. That when we followed and walked with our families down to the cemetery and buried our loved ones in the grave, there was no hope for them after this life. We don't know where they are. Some believe there's just outside of the Christian belief. Some believe that when a person dies, it's just like a forever of anesthesia. You just drift off like you're going to a surgery and that's it. That's sad, isn't it? Never to awake again. Some believe that we're annihilated. And there's all kinds of other beliefs out there. But my Bible tells me that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My Bible tells me that whenever we shed this mortal flesh, when this tent that we live in, when it is left down here, then we will go to be with Him there, to be absent from the bodies, to be present of the Lord. We will put off this mortality and put on immortality. There's a transition. But I will use that anesthesia illustration for just a moment. It kind of like, there is some similarities of anesthesia and the passing of a believer. As you go off and drift off into surgery, they tell you, they put the mask on, they give you that anesthesia, they say, all right, count backwards from 10. I do good counting to 10, forward. You get to about 8, you're gone. 10, 9, 8. And you wake up. What do you say? Have y'all got started yet? Well, have you done the surgery yet? It's that quick. Now, I haven't died yet. I'm still here. I'm not in heaven. I'm here. Y'all see me? This is really me. But I have a feeling that in some like manner, when a Christian passes, it's like saying bye-bye to this world, counting from 10 backwards. You're gone, and then you awake, and you're there. A lot of the same similarities. And I don't know, I'm not dogmatic on that. I'm just saying that we have a hope this morning that is beyond this world. We have a hope this morning that is beyond the grave. And because Jesus got out of that grave, those that we have buried are not perished. Tidwell family, you know how much Calvary loves you. And we know the death, Miss Linda, of your husband was totally unexpected. And we know you're going to the cemetery on Tuesday. And we have the honor of participating in that. But you know this. But I just want to be known to everybody that Joe is not perished. You know that. His body is not in the ground. Yes, they laid his mortal flesh in the ground. But who he is, the life he lived, the personality he has, Joe being a child of God and being a former pastor and all of those things and all that experience, Joe is in the presence of the Lord this morning. There is no time out in the grave. There is no spiritual sleep. When the Bible speaks of sleep, he's talking about death. And I'm glad this morning that we will see our loved ones again. And let me say this before I move on and we'll close. Today is April the 4th. Well, April the 6th is Tuesday, I believe. 6 years ago, my mom went home to be with the Lord. I can remember at Zion View, we were preaching on an Easter Sunday, and these were the last words that I said before I closed the book up, and we prayed. I said, I have never lost anybody really close to me. And I closed the Bible, we said the prayer, and we left. And then it was a day or two later, Mom got in an accident over in Smyrna, Windy Hill Road. Landscaping truck topped that hill, and it was Mom's first time riding in the passenger seat. She drove Mom and Dad's whole marriage. She drove. I never remember my dad driving one time. Two things I never remember my dad doing, driving and spanking me. Mom always drove and she always spanked us.
So, you know, I'm not terribly warped. The truck came over from what the detectives say, and wham, hit Mom around the passenger side. There's a hill there at Food Depot. Some of you can remember, know where that spot's at. And they say that Mom instantly died. They had a faint heartbeat as they were taking her to Kenistone Hospital. Mom literally saved my dad's life. They said that because of the impact of the truck, I mean, it literally just threw Mom on Dad. The whole passenger seat was gone, and she cushioned him from dying. She took the brunt of that force. This will be 6 years Mom has been in heaven, and I have no doubt she's there. She has professed to be a Christian. She had the fruits in her life. My mom is not in the grave waiting on the second return of the Lord and the resurrection of our bodies. She is, her body's there, but she's there. I want to say this, but in much, much bigger outfit, the same way that Mom took the brunt of the force so that my dad can live, Jesus paid the price. He took the brunt of sin for all of us so that we might live. And if you have not trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, there has never been a time and place in your life that you remember that you came to the realization that you are a sinner. We all are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. And the Bible also says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you've never came to that place, A, admission. Admit you are a sinner. We all are. Simple as ABC. But then there's the B, believe. Believe in thine heart that God has raised them from the dead. And the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Not a baptism, but a strong heart belief in God's plan of salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then there's the C, confession. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. Right here, right now, I'm asking you, Lord, to come into my heart, be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Take me to heaven when I die. Give me purpose. It's between you and the Lord. You pray to Him. But A, B, C, admit, believe, and confess. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just a moment when we give the invitation, please know that we have some that will talk with you. I will talk with you. Those that are watching on Facebook, please, please stay tuned in for the invitation. You do business as well with the Lord. And let me mention this of our same chapter as we close. He says in verse number 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? My word this morning to you is simply this. He lives. Everything hinges upon that simple truth. Him, Jesus, coming out of that tomb. And because He's alive, the opportunities are endless of how God can work in your life and do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And so you do business with the Lord, whether it's in your car, whether it's in the chair, whether you want to come and sit on the pew, sit on our prayer altar. You do business with the Lord as they come. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for who you are and for the things that you do. We've done our best to lift up Jesus. And I know these that are coming to sing will make it as inviting as they can for those to respond. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Work now in Jesus' name. Amen.
just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline. And once I'm covered by his blood, you may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
Bobby, help me come on down if you
need to. Remember, you can't cross the bloodline. Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and I'd give up too, cause I do believe you're bound to lose.
Those on Facebook, those on the
prophet's prayer. Gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight, cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. Remember, you can't cross the bloodline.
We're going to extend the singing just for a bit longer. Listen to these words and respond if you need to respond this morning.
Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems we're fighting a lot, but I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and I'd give up too, cause I do believe you're bound to lose.
Thank you all for coming, and
dismissed in a word of prayer, but thank you for coming. Thanks for everybody and your helping hand. And be prepared for more things like this. We got some new things we want to do here in the future. And so Calvary is marching ahead. All right, we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Thank you. Yeah, no Facebook Live tonight. Enjoy your families and the resurrection, Bud Jeff.
I'd like to say something special to elders. Anybody that's got children from about 4 up to 10.
Okay.
We are having children's church now. We've been having the last few weeks. Just want you to know if you come and you have children in that age group, we do have that now. It'll start right after the choir comes down in the morning service, and then the children will come on with me and Chuck, me and at different times, different ones. This Sunday it'll be me. Next Sunday it'll be Brother CJ, maybe a couple of other people we get involved. But we do have that open for you.
Okay.
We have that for you, thank you.
Brother Jeff was just saying, Children's Church, 4 to 10. 4 to 10 Sunday mornings after the choir comes down. Remember that. And we are cautiously but carefully. Of course, we've had that for a while now, and we're proud of that. But cautiously and carefully forging our way ahead. And we'll definitely keep you informed before we take any more steps. But expect us to keep going ahead as we move along. All right. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you for the service today. All the great help here at Calvary. I pray that you'd be with us. Keep us safe. Help us celebrate you all the day long. Enjoy our families. And God, we just give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.